Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness.com podcast. We provide you with free exercise, nutrition, weight loss, triathlon, and wellness advice from the top fitness experts in the nation. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you're just trying to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill, cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
What you are about to hear is a recording of a nutritional evaluation that I did for one of the professional athletes who I work with. And I wanted to put this out there for you, the premium listener, just because I think that you'll get some value out of it. So enjoy. Okay, what I want to do here is go over a week's worth of eating in, you know, what's obviously a really physically active scenario. And I got to tell you, when I was a bodybuilder and, you know, I was a young, hard-charging athlete who was able to just like work out all day long, I did dump a lot of things into my body that my body could just process due to the high amount of physical activity that I was engaged in. But the problem is it eventually catches up with you if you are dumping a lot of inflammatory omega-6 fatty acids into your body and affecting your joints and the total amount of inflammatory cytokines that your body produces. It eventually catches up to you if you are dumping a lot of preservatives and artificial components into your body just because those tend to build in places like your liver and your gut. And that eventually can affect things like your thyroid or your ability to generate testosterone or your ability for your gut bacteria to generate important vitamins like vitamin K2 or neurotransmitters. And then finally, the thing that can happen if your macronutrients in terms of your protein, carb, fat ratios are not ideal is you tend to not have enough fat for adequate nervous system health, which eventually can degrade the health of a lot of the what are called the myelin sheaths, which help your nerve signals to be propagated throughout your body. But it can also cause some insulin insensitivity issues as more and more insulin is released into your bloodstream from a high amount of carb intake or a high amount of proteins getting converted into glucose. So ultimately, what we're looking at here is not whether or not a diet is actually adequate to support performance, but whether or not a diet is adequate to support the ultimate combination of performance, health, and longevity. So let's start by looking at Monday. So Monday, 3:30 a.m. beef jerky. Now, first of all, 3:30 a.m. is a pretty damn early time of day to get up. And there was actually a recent study on circadian rhythms and athletes. This one was done in swimmers, but it basically showed that you're better off if you're actually able to do most of your hard exercise later on in the afternoon or the evening when it comes to circadian rhythm, optimal sleep, and recovery. I assume that if you were eating beef jerky at 3:30 a.m., you're probably getting ready for an early morning workout and or you were waking up hungry. Now, a very important rule to follow is from about an hour or so before you go to bed at night, all the way until you get up in the morning, you are either intermittently fasting, meaning you're not consuming anything at all, or if you need to consume foods, they're not protein-based or carbohydrate-based, but they're fat-based. For example, one of the best things you can do if you wake up hungry is to just do a couple tablespoons of coconut oil. Great gut antiviral and antibacterial properties, chock full of some really good slow-release medium-chain triglycerides. And if you just can't stand the taste of coconut oil, you could put a little bit of nut butter with it. But if you're waking up early, hungry, that's a much, much better way to go than the protein, such as beef jerky, which will get converted into glucose really quickly. Now, after that 3:30 a.m. beef jerky, at 5 a.m., you had four eggs, potatoes, sausage, coffee, and cream. Now, that actually could be a healthy meal if the eggs are pastured and the potatoes are not fried in vegetable oil. That's very important for an athlete. The sausage is natural, and then any cream that is added to the coffee is just like natural, real stuff, like coconut milk, for example, or, you know, even like, you know, an organic milk. So that technically, eggs, potatoes, and sausage can be a healthy breakfast, but you need to ensure, especially with proteins, that they're coming from clean sources and that they haven't been exposed to vegetable oils. So next, from 7 a.m. to noon during a 13.5-mile mountain run, you had Gatorade, power bars, and a nuts/cranberry mix. Now, one of the important things here during workouts is that we still consider things like the artificial sweeteners or colors, chemicals, processed and preservative things, or gluten-laden compounds that we're putting into our body. So there have been lots of studies that have shown that during running, liquids perform better than solids, and liquids would include something like a gel or a sports drink. But the problem with many gels and sports drinks is for sports drinks, for someone who's like an obstacle racer or runner, they're bulky and can be tough to carry and get in the way. And when we look at something like gels, they're all sugar-based. And the problem with gels that are sugar-based is they can basically rip us out of fat oxidation. They have a net inflammatory load, so you recover less quickly from all those sugars that you're dumping into your body. And they can result, if you're not getting proteins and fats, in central nervous system fatigue, if it's just like maltodextrin and fructose, which a lot of gels are. Now, there are gels out there that would be ideal for you to use during a workout or during a long mountain run, for example. That actually would be okay. For example, Justin's Nut Butter, made out of nut butter. There's another one called Vitalite that's basically comprised of chia seeds. There's a company called Goo that makes one called a peanut butter flavored gel. There's a company called Chocolate Number 9 that uses basically a cacao fat base. There's a company called Huma, H-U-M-A, that uses a chia seed base. There's a company called Pocket Fuel that uses a nut butter based. Similar to the company Goo that makes a peanut butter flavor, a company called Hammer Gel also makes a peanut butter flavor, and that is also amino acids and fats in addition to lower amounts of sugar. There's a company called Artisana Foods that makes more of a coconut oil-based gel. There's a company called WinForce that makes a gel comprised of a mix of oils and sugars, but again, not like nasty processed heated vegetable oils, but more cold processed derivatives. So ultimately, you should ideally pick a gel that is a fat-based gel with some proteins added to it and roll with that. Right now, I'm personally experimenting during my longer efforts for which I need something portable, but I need something light that I can just like stuff into the pockets of a compression short or even use safety pins to safety pin to the like the side of my shorts. Right now, what I'm experimenting with is fuel from a company called Pocket Fuel, which is just nut butter in like a gel-based format, but that works really, really well when combined with just basic water. And the nice part about a lot of these nut butters is they're salted, so you're getting some of your salts as well. So that's what I would recommend as opposed to like Gatorade, power bars, nuts, and cranberry mix. So after your workout, looks like you had a cheat meal, and you do label this a cheat meal, jalapeno poppers, chili bacon cheeseburger, and onion rings. So here's the deal with cheat meals. Ideally, a cheat meal does not inhibit recovery or create a net inflammatory state, which this meal, high in vegetable oils and gluten, actually would. You could have a cheat meal comprised of like a bunch of dark chocolate, red wine, some sweet potato mash, a giant steak, and you know something like that is going to allow you to recover much, much better and still give you that nice dopamine, kind of like, you know, eat everything in sight type of release, but it will allow you to recover because, again, this stuff catches up with you. You want a nice, clean digestive system. You want joints that are not attacked by omega-6s from a cheat meal. So cheat meals can be big calorie-laden meals and even include things that, you know, are really kind of a mix of fats and sugars, like, you know, dark chocolate is a good example, or, you know, honey, almond butter, sweet potatoes, yams, steak, stuff like that. But it shouldn't necessarily be jalapeno poppers, chili bacon cheeseburger, and onion rings. At this point, you know, on your Monday, omega-6 fatty acids, vegetable oils, and inflammatory foods are the biggest issue for you in terms of recovering as quickly as possible. Now, next at 4 p.m., it looks like you had a Coco Mojo bar and a Kind bar. Those are gluten-free, kind of lactose-free type of bars. Those bars are all fine. They're pretty good. They still have a lot of sugars added to them. I follow this simple rule. You don't eat energy bars unless you're exercising or unless you've just finished exercising or you're about to exercise. Otherwise, it's just glorified candy. It really is. So it's better to just, you know, for example, go-to snack for me is some full-fat coconut milk mixed with a little bit of protein powder, and then I'll throw some coconut flakes in there and sometimes a little bit of dark chocolate, stir that up, and I'll eat that with a spoon as like a recovery pudding. And it's much lower in sugars than a lot of these bars. There's also one bar out there called a cocoa chia bar. And a cocoa chia bar actually is higher in fat, lower in sugars. So that one would be a little bit more acceptable if you had to go with a bar. That or just a handful of, you know, raw seeds and nuts is not bad too. And you could even put a few little chunks of like dark chocolate or like a dried ginger in there. And that's really good as like an anti-inflammatory snack. That is, again, a decent alternative to a bar. Dinner, looks like you knocked it out of the park with dinner. Chicken, wild rice, salad, goat cheese. You know, I would say the only thing is that if you eat a lower fat protein like chicken, always add fats, add whatever, MCT oil, olive oil, whatever you want as far as like a good healthy fat, avocados, etc., to that leaner meat like a chicken, because that will slow the protein release and cause less of that gluconeogenesis or glucose spike to occur after a dinner like that. So Tuesday, you started off the day with bacon, eggs, and kale, and then coffee with a capful of MCT. And that's all really, really good. Remember, one thing about doing like a high-fat coffee or coffee with MCT oil is carbohydrates present when you use MCT oil. Like if you have like a bulletproof coffee or coffee with MCT, but you also have potatoes or pancakes or something like that, the glucose and carbohydrates from that will shut down the ability of your body to generate ATP-based energy from the MCT. Now, the reason I bring that up is because technically, bacon and eggs, some of those will go through gluconeogenesis and get converted into carbohydrates. For that reason, if you're looking at things from a weight loss, overall calorie intake standpoint, I'm a bigger fan of either doing bulletproof coffee, you know, the MCT oil fatty coffee, in the absence of any other calories or proteins, etc., aside from if you wanted to add some collagen to the coffee, like a couple tablespoons of like a bulletproof collagen, for example, or Great Lakes collagen or Bernard Jensen collagen. So you either do that or you eat a real meal, you know, like bacon, eggs, kale, or, you know, like a green smoothie or something like that, but not both. Okay, so bulletproof coffee should always be something taken solo, not with a meal, especially from a weight loss, fat loss, weight control standpoint. Looks like 10 a.m. you had walnuts and beef jerky as a snack. There are a lot of paleo / primal companies that are making really good beef jerky without a lot of added nitrites and nitrates and sweeteners and sugars and things like that. Make sure you're using a good, healthy, organic beef jerky if you're going to be snacking on beef jerky. And, you know, that's an okay snack to do walnuts and beef jerky. Looks like at noon you had coffee with soy milk. Soy is one of the most testosterone-depressing, estrogen-raising, man-boob-forming things you can put in your diet. Both men and women should steer clear of any form of commercial soy, period. The only form of soy you should be doing is fermented soy, natto, tempeh, miso, things like that. If you can't get your hands on those forms of fermented soy, don't use soy. Better forms of milk would be almond milk, coconut milk, or even just organic cow's milk. At 3 p.m., you had salad with wild rice, goat cheese, and walnuts. Not bad. Looks like at 5 p.m., you had what you say is a bad meal. Flatbread with mushrooms, quinoa kale salad, salmon mushrooms and black rice, 2 glasses of wine, and a small cup of ice cream. Now remember, it's not so important, especially in a hard-charging, active person like yourself, to restrict calories, because that can affect thyroid and testosterone, as to choose the right calories that are nutrient dense and digestible. Every single meal, for example, for me, for dinner, is a really healthy protein, salmon, chicken, beef, whatever, all from organic or wild sources, some form of dense vegetable, generally drenched in olive oil or MCT oil or coconut oil, and then quinoa, white rice, sometimes brown rice, but not too much because it has higher levels of arsenic in it, sweet potato, yam, even a baked potato. But basically, the things you want to avoid would be inflammatory compounds. Again, you know, gluten, dairy, omega-6s, things of that nature. So you could have easily adjusted the flatbread with mushrooms, quinoa kale salad, salmon, mushrooms, and black rice, two glasses of red wine, and a small cup of ice cream to be something like, let's say, extra serving of black rice and then leave out the flatbread and have the mushrooms with the black rice, do the quinoa kale salad, do the salmon, do the mushrooms, have the two glasses of wine, and then rather than ice cream, use coconut ice cream. That, for example, would be a better scenario. So Wednesday, coffee with MCT by itself looks good. Pre-workout, you did a Quest bar, and then mid-workout, another Quest bar. Quest bars are good. Those are okay. That's a clean source of fuel. Post-workout meal, you did protein, creatine, and coconut water. Look at your protein. Make sure it is organic protein, cold processed, doesn't have artificial sweeteners in it, doesn't have sucralose, acesulfamide potassium, vegetable oils, soy lecithin, stuff like that in it. And if it doesn't, that's fine. I like a company called Mount Capra for a good, clean whey protein. I like a company called Living Fuel for a really good, like more vegan source of protein. But ultimately, you know, protein and creatine, that's a really good post-workout blend, but make sure that they're from clean sources. There's so many protein powders and creatines out there that are not from clean sources. So dinner, big salad, goat cheese, almonds, five eggs, teriyaki dressing, spinach. That all looks good. One thing to bear in mind is look at the label of dressings. Make sure that they don't have canola oil, vegetable oil, stuff like that in them. Generally, the best dressings are going to use an extra virgin olive oil or olive oil base. You can also use an MCT oil as a base if you just want to make your own dressing. And then they don't have added sugars on them. So a lot of times it's fresh herbs, some olive oil, some vinaigrette. I generally just don't get dressing, period. So, you know, I'll put olive oil and vinaigrette and then add salt, pepper, some cayenne, some turmeric, you know, things along those lines. And it's much, much better than using a store-bought dressing. So other than that, that's a pretty good dinner. Thursday, looks like you had a tea with MCT oil, so more like fatty tea. And that's fine. That looks good. Looks like, and by the way, I should mention, just because you're doing a lot of workouts, breaking down muscle a lot, you can do, I mean, with that morning tea, morning coffee, you can add grass-fed butter. You can add collagen. You can add, you know, if you want a little bit of sweetener, like stevia or something like that. So you don't have to limit yourself to just doing MCT oil. Looks like post-workout, you had creatine protein scoop with another Kokomo Joe bar. Again, all that's fine. Just make sure that your creatine and protein are clean. That's the most important thing, again, from a long-term health standpoint and athlete longevity standpoint. Looks like you had a quinoa peanut salad with an egg white salad. That's bad news bears. Here's why. Peanut salad, peanuts are an inflammatory legume, high in omega-6s. I would avoid them. When you can, choose raw nuts, almonds, walnuts, cashews, stuff like that. Egg white, you need to follow a rule. Eggs should never be consumed in the absence of the yolk and the white put together, okay? Just because the isolated sugar spike, insulin spike, glucose spike that you get from the egg white on its own, along with the fact that you're missing out on all of the testosterone building and cholesterol building properties of the yolk, along with the help for your nervous system, your eyes, your visual acuity, everything else that yolk gives you, it's just sad when I see yolk separated from the eggs. So egg white salad, not a good idea. And it probably had mayonnaise in it that was made with vegetable oil. I mean, like, you know, I know I'm picking apart your lunch, but you could have done like quinoa with some raw seeds or nuts and then like some real eggs or some real egg white salad, preferably made with some kind of a mayonnaise that doesn't have vegetable oil. If you look at the book, there's a really, really good book I'm going to recommend to you that has some awesome recipes and also some awesome foods that you can find at any grocery store. And it's not my book, Beyond Training, even though that's a good book too. It's a book called Rich Food, Poor Food. I recommend it to all the athletes that I work with as an easy go-to source, especially when you're traveling and you want to get healthy food at the grocery store. Rich Food, Poor Food. Check it out. It's written by Mira and Jason Kelton. It'll cost you a few bucks. In my opinion, an indispensable guide to have on hand. So check that one out. Looks like pre-workout for that day, Thursday, had aminos, and that's fine. Your second workout of the day, looks like you had more creatine and protein, some banana, some sunflower seed butter afterwards. All that's fine. I'm assuming the sunflower seed butter was raw. Make sure that when you have seeds and nut-based nut butters, get the raw stuff. It's well worth it for shutting down inflammation. And then it looks like we move on here to your Friday. Friday, it looks like you had a double spin class and you did an amino scoop prior to a double spin class. And then post-workout, you had a scoop of protein and creatine, two large glasses of orange juice, and steak, omelet, and potatoes. After a double spin class, honestly, if you weren't eating during the spin class, the sugar from two large glasses of OJ, assuming it was like a real natural OJ, not made with high fructose corn syrup and stuff like that, your muscles are probably going to suck most of that up and just store it away as storage glycogen. So I'm not going to get too nitpicky on that. You know, I'm a bigger fan if you were to just like eat a couple of oranges, honestly, because you're getting the fiber and more antioxidants. But, you know, ultimately, I'm not going to get too picky if you had two glasses of OJ after a double spin class. Steak, omelet, potatoes, again, just make sure that those are not laden with omega-6s, that they're the real organic wild stuff, and that, you know, potatoes, for example, would preferably be cooked in coconut oil or avocado oil or macadamia nut oil, not vegetable oil, canola oil, stuff like that. So, and then it looks like you had quinoa, spinach, three scoops of sunflower seed butter. Again, you know, with the nut butter, make sure it's raw. The rest of that day looks like we had some of your usuals that we're starting to see now: protein, creatine, banana dipped in almond butter, coffee with soy milk. You know, I already talked about the soy. And it looks like dinner, three sausages, one with a bun, and a couple of beers. Again, when we look at estrogen and we look at man boobs and we look at shutting down testosterone, beer is not the best. I mean, like, there are some good organic beers out there. Thank God that Spartan Racing has teamed up with, I think it's Sam Adams, which actually has a decent organic beer. Like, there are some decent beers out there, but just be careful with beer. Make sure it is made from organic sources and that it's not the cheap stuff with high fructose corn syrup and fillers in it. And then just limit it, because all of those grain sources used to make the beer do get pretty estrogenic along with the hops. So just be careful with the beer. If you're going to drink alcohol, I'm a bigger fan of the Holy Trilogy of vodka, tequila, or red wine. And then beer is only in moderation, like after you cross the finish line of a race. Okay, Saturday, again, it looks like you stuck to most of your main staples that I've kind of already hit on. For you as an athlete, for dinner, you had three glasses of wine with a 22-ounce steak, a piece of white bread with butter, mushrooms, and a beet salad with goat cheese, and a piece of cake. Okay, so we've already kind of dug into some of the issues with dinner. You need to do more fat and less alcohol and less gluten with dinner, period. Like, I would prefer, for if you're really truly going to be a world champion in your sport, you need to, aside from the trace amounts of gluten you're going to find in like corn, oatmeal, quinoa, stuff like that, you should not be doing bread unless it's real, like, ancestrally prepared, like fermented sourdough bread. And that's just the way it is. If you're really serious about optimizing your performance and your longevity to the max, you should also be really careful ever consuming more than two servings of alcohol at a time, ever, unless it's very few and far between, like after you've won a big race or something like that. Aside from that, never, ever more than two servings of alcohol. And again, this is where the big wins come in, and where you have to ask yourself, you know, in situations like that, whether you want to be a world champion or whether you want to settle for less than that. And it's about controlling some of the sources that are unclean in your diet or that are potentially shoving your hormones low. Okay, and then finally, we get to Sunday, where you started off the day with three scoops of sunflower butter. I need to put something in, and this is coming from a guy who would eat like a quarter, what do you call them, a container of peanut butter on a daily basis when I was in college. Seeds and nuts are really good as a calorie-dense source, but they are chock full of omega-6s. So a serving of like a handful of seeds and nuts and then like a tablespoon of nut butter, that's about the max amount of nuts you should be having per day. And everything else can come from other healthy fat sources like coconut milk and olives and avocado and, you know, wild caught fish and, you know, a lot of these other compounds. But I would really like you to see, like, going to chapter 11 of my book, grabbing yourself a good blender and starting into this whole like green smoothie, green shake thing, rather than doing like a few scoops of nut butter. It's just going to be way better for your joints and inflammation long term. So breakfast wasn't too bad. Looks like you had a bunch of bacon, some sausage. I'm just going to assume that you're really trying to choose clean, pasture-raised with pork. So bacon and sausage needs to all be pasture-raised, which is a topic near and dear to my heart right now because my wife is currently butchering half a pig in our garage. Veggies and hummus and a cup of oatmeal. Careful with hummus. You want to make sure that anytime you get legumes, lentils, garbanzo beans, chickpeas, etc., that they've been soaked and sprouted. Otherwise, they have a lot of digestive inhibitors and inflammatory components in them. Pre-workout, you had half a Quest bar, half a Monster energy drink. Energy drink should not be part of your vocabulary, period. Again, if you're in this for the long haul with your adrenal glands, coffee and tea are okay. Once we delve into energy drinks and the chemical cocktail therein, not a good plan. And again, this is coming from a guy who used to drink 3 or 4 Monsters or Rockstars a day back when I was a hard-charging personal trainer. And I've had to deal with the blowback from that, from an adrenal standpoint, testosterone standpoint, thyroid standpoint. This crap catches up with you once you start to get to the point where your testosterone levels are naturally going to decline, which is about age 27. And then your thyroid and your adrenals start to take the big hit from all this stuff when you're about between 30 and 35. So I'm just saying this stuff so that you can look forward to a high, high amount of longevity in your athletic career. And this is the stuff I wish people had told me when I was a young athlete and I was hard charging and I was just eating everything in sight and kind of settling for less than ideal when it comes to diet. So really, really important stuff. Those are the main things that I wanted to go over when it comes to your diet. So I hope that this was helpful for you. I know you'll probably have some questions, and once I send this over to you, feel free to reply with your questions. But big picture, read chapter 11 of Beyond Training book, and then get that book, Rich Food, Poor Food. Eat clean proteins, clean up your dinners quite a bit, include healthy fats with your proteins as much as possible, and really lower the amount of seed and nut intake. So a lot of stuff for you to start into, but hopefully that helps, and best of luck. Hey, it's Ben Greenfield here, and if you listened in to that entire nutritional consult and you want a consult for yourself or for your nutrition, you can get coaching and consultations over at the website pacificfit.net. That's pacificfit.net. And generally, I'll talk to you on the phone rather than record an audio for you. But I wanted to record this audio just so you, the premium listener, would have access to it. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope you can make some adjustments to your diet based off of what you just heard. Thanks for listening.
Visit BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness, nutrition, and performance advice.